Blog Talk Radio.
And now,
you are listening live.
Handoff, Kennedy McCoy cuts it back inside. He's at five, heading to the end zone. He's in, touchdown! Drops, throws, has a man. Ball caught, Jennings. Gary Jennings breaks the tackle. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Gary Jennings. And it is a great night to be a Mountaineer, wherever you may be.
By Goddard. Welcome to the live call-in and review show of the Smoking Musket podcast. Glad you could join me tonight. I am Bart Keeler, here to take your calls and talk about the WVU Delaware State game from Saturday. If you want to join the show, obviously you can tweet at Smoking Musket. You can call in at 917-932-1765, and I will be happy to take your calls, take your tweets, and answer any questions you have. I don't expect a whole lot of questions about this particular game against Delaware State, although I do expect, actually, there are a few people who are quite upset about the start that West Virginia had. But I don't think it's as big of a deal as people have made it out to be personally. But I do expect some people will be a little upset about that, and it's fine. But I do want to talk to you a little bit about what happened. I hope that you can join the show. Again, you can tweet us at Smoking Musket, and you can call in at 917-932-1765. Flying solo again. Mike is out, so he'll join us later on in the week, but you can follow me on Twitter at BartimusPrime19. You can follow Mike on Twitter, ByGod_. And, of course, you can go to www.smokingmusket.com for daily news, notes, and opinions on Mountaineer sports. Now, if you watched this game on Saturday, you probably, like I said, were not happy with the start that the Mountaineers had against the Delaware State Hornets. I understand that. I don't think anyone was super happy with how the team came out. Look, I'm just going to be real honest. Having been, you know, a college athlete, having been an athlete at a fairly high level, it's not easy to get hyped for every single game. You know that there are games that you're going to have that are just flat out easier than others. And that's just how it works. That's just how, you know, sports work. And this was definitely one of those games that you knew that Delaware State is not a good football team. Not even a bad FBS team, but they're a bad FCS team. That said, this may have been the best performance they turned in all year, but, you know, it's probably a combination of they're playing with nothing to lose and we're playing with not a whole lot of passion and desire. So I understand that we didn't come out with the same fire that we would have had normally, and it happens. I think you just have to understand that it happens. But, you know, I think from the very start of the game, I saw one huge improvement, and that was in the return game. We saw a little bit of it last game, and West Virginia starts the game with a really nice return. Excuse me. Really nice return by Marcus Sims. We got the ball. I mean, it wasn't a kickoff to the end zone, but Delaware State kicks the ball off, and Sims goes. He goes, what? I have to do math here. He goes about 80 yards to the Delaware State 18-yard line. And from the – or excuse me, about 70 yards. I can't do math. Don't expect me to do math. Goes about 70 yards to the Delaware State 18. And the Mountaineers are in business to start. You know, it takes four plays. We go 18 yards, and Justin Crawford plunges into the end zone. More on him later, but you know, I think that was a good start by West Virginia. I think that was a good start by Spavital to look, we weren't trying to run up the score. I think everyone knows that. We weren't trying to you know, put up 800 points or 80 points and 800 yards against them. That's just not what the goal of this game was. This game was about making sure we had all of our things correct. And I think that was why the start was so disappointing. But Justin Crawford gets two touches on the first drive, gets a touchdown. Will Greer finding Gary Jennings really to set up the touchdown. But all in all, a pretty efficient, you know, start and what you would want if you get a nice kickoff return like what Marcus Sims gave us. So that was fine. You know, we go up 7-0. It's great. Delaware State, then, you know, they get a very, I don't know, just one of those weird plays that sometimes if you're not on your, if you're not minding your P's and Q's, if you're not completely focused in on a game, you're going to have a big play. And, McDaniel found, you know, found a guy open, and 80 yards later, he's down at the West Virginia 3. Ooh, excuse me. This weather has been dealing with me. I don't know if it, what's it up like in West Virginia, but back here in Georgia, it was cold last week, and all of a sudden it got hot this weekend. I'm not a fan of it. But, you know, it just sucks. Touchdown, 81 yards. You know, they're down inside. They're tied, and that was disappointing to see from the defense. And I think, honestly, I think the worst showing was from the defense. And I don't think that it was what Coach Gibson wanted. I definitely know it's not what Coach Holgerson wanted from what he heard. But I think at the end of the day, you have to look at it and just say, okay, you know, it's hard to be pumped for a game like this. So 7-7, West Virginia and Delaware State tied. I got to be honest, I was a little nervous just because I didn't want this game to turn into one of those nail biters that sometimes these games against FCS teams can do. And we saw that with Youngstown State last year. Youngstown State, a very good football program, very good team. So I definitely didn't want to have one of those this year. But luckily, West Virginia then answers with, you know, a decent drive. We don't get the touchdown when we get first and goal to go inside of the, obviously inside of the 10. Would have preferred to see that. Well, we get the field goal out of it. I think that's fine, but if you're not converting in the red zone, if you're not converting inside the 10 against Delaware State, doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence moving forward. Again, maybe this is one of those, I don't know, maybe this is one of those offense wasn't quite ready for it, but up to that point, it was a fine, it was a decent drive. Kind of sucked. Will Greer goes down a couple of times with sacks, but I thought our run game was fine for the most part, the first two drives. And I think that's the reason why we got 10 points out of them. And then Delaware State gets the ball back. We are able to hold them. We get the ball, and right there, I think, is when I knew that we were going to take control of this game, luckily. Delaware State fumbled the ball inside of their own 30, if I wrote that down right. In West Virginia, we just take care of business. And I think that is what you wanted. Now, excuse me. This is why I can't take notes on paper, y'all. I gotta do better at taking notes. This is my fault. Anyway, West Virginia gets the ball off the Delaware State fumble, and then this was actually a little concerning throughout the game. Will Greer was under pressure a little too much for my liking, to be quite honest. That was the thing that scared me the most, I think, was that he seemed to be, especially in that first quarter, Delaware State was able to get to him, sacked him a couple times. But for me, the protection needs to be a little bit better, because you're going to play some defenses in the Big 12 that do get after the quarterback. That's the one thing in the Big 12 you have to do is get after the quarterback. So what I'm getting at here is we get the ball off of a fumble, which is great. And then we get right back to him off of a fumble. Luckily we get the ball back after that. We go and score a touchdown. It's fine. But, you know, we gave Delaware State the ball a little bit too easily. And that's just disconcerting. Look, we go up 17-7. I think the rest is history. I don't know what more you want me to say about this game. It looked fine. I liked Marcus Sims a lot in this game. I think he was one of the main reasons why West Virginia came out on top. It was definitely I think we've seen the past, you know, two games, what a difference maker he can be. And I think Will Grier likes having him. Obviously we like to have the speed, but it definitely is something that you're going to see a big difference maker when we get into conference play. I'm not saying he's going to go for a whole bunch of yards, but look, four catches, 91 yards and two touchdowns. We needed that this game when the rest of the team was really struggling. Now give credit to guys like Gary Jennings. He definitely stepped up his game, even though he didn't have the best start. But, you know, I think Marcus Sims was the guy that for some reason Will Grier was able to find most often. And I think that is more of an effect of, look, Delaware State's defense, not great. They are not as good of athletes as what West Virginia has to offer. So a guy who's fast like Marcus Sims is definitely going to be your more advantageous option if you're Will Grier, because, you know, you can just kind of chuck it long and expect a guy to go catch it underneath. So West Virginia ends the first quarter with a 24-10 lead. Not great. And I'll be the first to say, look, you gave a team who hasn't scored a whole bunch at all this season 10 points in the first quarter. Not good. But you get 24, and I think that was kind of one of those things that picked up the same pace that we had from last game. Again, you're listening to the Smoking Musket podcast. This is our live call-in and review show. So, you know, you're encouraged to call in. That's the point of this, to let you guys sound off. You can call us at 917-932-1765. I do have a question from @NewsWVU on Twitter. They want to know why Gibson runs the 3-3-5 when it obviously doesn't work. Will it work with Big 12 teams? What? The 3-3-5 has proven to be the reason why West Virginia has had successful runs in the Big 12 the past 2 years. And I think it works very well against most Big 12 teams for the sheer fact that it allows you to have a bend but don't break attitude. Look, if you're expecting the 3-3-5 to hold teams under 200 yards and 10 points, I don't think you understand what the point of the 3-3-5 defense is. What the 3-3-5 does is allow you to have five D-backs as your base formation without having to go into a weird nickel or dime package. And it allows you to use those also not just as defensive backs, but also linebackers and sometimes even defensive linemen. I mean, a lot of times we're going to throw a safety or a Kaiser White in that spur position up on the line of scrimmage, and they're rushing from, you know, although their hand's not on the ground, but they're rushing from the line of scrimmage. It does work. It's not Alabama's defense. It's not Clemson's defense, but I'll be honest, Tony Gibson and the 3-3-5 has been one of the most consistent defenses in the Big 12 in the past 3-4 years. So it does work. It doesn't work in terms of keeping teams off the scoreboard, but it certainly mitigates their threat. It certainly cuts down on their points scored. I mean, scoring defense has been all right for us. And most importantly, I think it allows us to have big plays on defense, because when we have three linebackers who may be playing a true linebacker position, maybe going into coverage, when you have five defensive backs who might be covering or maybe coming on a blitz, it gives a lot of different looks and a lot of different schemes that a quarterback and an offensive coordinator have to prepare for. And what we've seen time and time again, especially in the last year and even a little bit before the year before that, was very opportunistic defense. And we had, I mean, look, Rasul Douglas last year had, what, 8 interceptions? Year before that, you know, we've had Carl Joseph, KJ Dillon. We've had guys who are proven playmakers come out of this defensive scheme. So clearly it's working in terms of producing good talent, because I mean, the 3-3-5 is a somewhat gimmicky defense. I don't think we use that as a gimmick, but it is something that you see in the, you don't see it a lot in the NFL. You see some variations of it, but clearly we're putting out very good defensive backs. Now I will say that the 3-3-5 definitely needs a three very good down linemen on the defensive line. And I don't know if we have that yet, but I think they're okay so far. I don't think that's been the reason we've won or lost games. I got to be honest, at WVU News, I don't know why you think the 3-3-5 doesn't work. And I don't know what to tell you other than that. I think it's worked just fine for us. So yeah, I don't know. So as we left off, it was 24-10 in the first quarter. West Virginia comes out in the third quarter, and I think this was a much better start to the quarter, a much better performance throughout the quarter. And ultimately, this is what the team should have looked like. I mean, this is what we needed to have from the get-go. West Virginia, did we punt? No, we didn't punt in the second quarter at all. We didn't turn the ball over, but one time, an interception from Will Greer, which not great, but again, he was just off today. I think it was weird. I think the entire offense was a little off every now and then. But West Virginia with some very efficient drives. Again, hey, you score 21 points in the quarter, it's fine. You get a touchdown on. Like I said, so you throw an interception your first drive of the game, first drive of the quarter, that sucks, but then you go touchdown, touchdown, touchdown to end the half. That's just fine, and West Virginia was able to take a 45-10 lead into the half, and at that point, the game's over. It just is, and it's fine. I mean, I think we talked about it last time. I didn't want to have our starters play the second half, but I understand why they came out and started the third quarter and played a little in the third quarter. And I think Will Greer actually hit on this, that he felt that the team played much better coming out of the half than they did last week. And I think we saw that 2 weeks. It wasn't great to start the second half against East Carolina, but West Virginia in the third quarter gets their only touchdown of the quarter on that first drive of the quarter. The drive chart really, look, I think this was good, and both teams seemed very content with this. The drive chart isn't very long for the third and fourth quarter, and that's fine with me, because at that point, we knew what the game situation was. We just don't want to get hurt. We get the touchdown to open up the second half. At that point, there's no reason to play around. We're up 52-10. Just go home. We end up getting a 59-16 win. It's fine. Chugnov gets a touchdown pass for him in the fourth quarter, which is great. You know, still not super impressed, but he did his job. I don't know, you know, I don't know what else you could have asked for from this game other than a cleaner start. But all in all, when the offense scores, I mean, the first team offense basically scored 52 points, right? That's fine against any team. We get a total of 59 points. Defense gives up 10 against a very vastly inferior opponent. That's a little frustrating, but then again, it just happens. That's unfortunate life in college football. You're not going to get 18 and 19-year-olds all the time to get hyped up for Delaware State. Any questions you have, feel free to tweet them at Smoking Musket. You can call our show at 917-932-1765. You can call and express any opinion you have, any questions you have, or just anything you want to talk about this West Virginia-Delaware State game. Got to be honest, not a whole lot to talk about. I'll get into some stats in a little bit, But, you know, I think the just overall game summary, it's good. We get the 59-20 win, get 45 points in one half, still able to score twice in the second half, which is, you know, I think that's fine. You get 14 points added onto that. We will move on to some stat lines, though, because I think it's important to look at the entire performance as well as individual. I think West Virginia, for the most part, moved the ball decently well. We had 23 total first downs, which is great. Rushing was, for me, the most impressive part, 204 yards total rushing. Rushing defense, not great, 161 from Delaware State. That I understand is concerning. And that I understand is something that the defense needs to shore up. And I think that's maybe where that question from at News WVU came from is whether or not the defensive line was great. But again, you have to have three good down linemen on that D line to really make this 3-3-5 super effective. I don't think it was that bad, but they did run the ball 44 times. So I think, again, both teams knew what they wanted to do. So look, 204 yards on the ground, fine. You know, not great on 35 attempts, but that's still, you know, 5 yards a carry. I'm fine with that. Four touchdowns on the ground. I do want to point out Justin Crawford, 102 yards. That's his third straight 100-yard game. He's obviously on pace now for a 1,000-yard season, which is great because I do think that he's going to need to get, you know, more than 1,100 yards if we're going to be super contenders in this conference, because I think that's where we're going to be able to beat some teams. So that's good for him. No one else of note really getting some touches. Kennedy McCoy was not in the game. He was suspended for a violation of team rules, and it's really all we heard. It was only a one-game suspension, so he'll be back for Kansas. So I don't know why or how, but you know, he wasn't there. Will Greer, with a decent day, he'll tell you that he could have done better, and he could have. I mean, he was 19 for 27 for 304. Three touchdowns and an interception. He was sacked once. I didn't like all the pressure he had on him. That was concerning to me, but, you know, whatever. Not all the pressure. That sounds bad. But I guess I was just expecting our offensive line to hold up a little bit better. But, you know, that's asking a whole lot. But 19 for 27, not great from Will. And the one interception, not great either. That's something that I think he knows that he has to improve. Again, it's Delaware State. It is hard to get up for them. It happens. Question here from at Chris Boom _ on Twitter. Chris Arnold, he wants to know if Will Greer will stay for next season or no. And I got to be honest, I don't think he has a reason to leave just yet. Obviously, he has right now, 9 college games under his belt. And a lot of kids can get a lot of pro hype after 9 games. Obviously, you know, we've seen Lamar Jackson, he's got pro hype around and others, but I don't know if he goes or not. I wouldn't say he should go yet, because I do think there are mechanical issues he could work on still. I still think that he has a tendency to throw on his back foot a little bit more, or throw off his back foot, I should say. He has a tendency to he needs to find a little bit more touch on his his deep passes, which these are things you have to learn. And when you haven't played real football in a year, it is something that you're going to have to get back into the swing of. And I understand that, but I don't know. I don't think he has a reason to go other than a wife and kids. And that's about it. That's really the only reason he has to go anywhere. So thanks for the question, Chris Arnold at Chris Boom _ on the Twitters. Again, the question was, Will, does he stay for next season or no? And I think he does, just because I don't think he needs to go to the NFL yet. But again, he's got to make a decision for his family. Again, if you want to take part in this show, you can call us at 917-932-1765. I will be more than happy to take your calls, take any questions you have, try to answer them to the best I can. See, I think we have a couple more. I'll answer this one first from Colin Kelly at CGK205. Thanks for the question. So once again, a couple of big plays were given up on defense this past weekend. I typically trust Tony Gibson, but should we be concerned? Yes, but no. And I'll tell you why I say that. Yes, because, we've given up a couple of good big plays each game, and that is concerning. Obviously, if we're giving up big plays to East Carolina and even, you know, Virginia Tech and Delaware State, what is Oklahoma State, TCU, even Kansas, potentially, and Iowa State going to do? I mean, these Big 12 offenses thrive on big plays. I mean, that's what Texas Tech does. It's what, you know, every team in this conference does. But I will say that I think that the advantage is that our defense is young and a little inexperienced. So hopefully the more games they play, the more they'll come together. I don't think there are a couple big plays. There is definitely one big play. There, you know, I understand why, you know, there were a couple that we gave up. But really the touchdown that Delaware State scored in the first quarter, that was a big play. And you can't allow those to happen. ECU had a couple big plays. I'm hoping that that's something that we can fix in the film room, because if it's a schematic issue, we can fix that better in the film room. But if it's just a busted coverage, or if it's a guy's not doing their jobs correctly, that's harder to fix on the field at this point in the season. I would say that it's a little bit of a knowing where what you're doing and where you need to be, which you can address in film study. And again, that comes with experience and knowing, because it's recognition and reaction. So that is some of it. Also, some of it's just got to make tackles. And I think that was a big issue again today. And it was a little bit against East Carolina. It definitely was against Virginia Tech, where you've got to make tackles, boys. If you don't make tackles, you know, you're going to give up a lot of big plays. So I still trust Tony Gibson. I don't think Tony is the problem. I think we have guys on the field who are inexperienced and not fully at the level they need to be just yet. Hopefully that changes before we play TCU on October 7. Hopefully they are sure enough to play against Kansas this Saturday. Josh Harrison at @Josh_2 on Twitter. Rank the remaining opponents on how anxious you are to play them. Well, anxious meaning looking forward with some sort of fear. I think the team that scares me the most is Oklahoma State, because the offensive numbers they've put up are frightening, to be quite honest. Oklahoma doesn't scare me as much as Oklahoma State, but Oklahoma is number two for sure. So Oklahoma State number one, Oklahoma number two. I don't know what to make of Texas, to be quite honest. They looked not great against Maryland. They didn't look that great against San Jose State. Yeah, that one. They look good against USC. So I don't know if they're in my, you know, the most scared ones that we have remaining. Maybe TCU. TCU is definitely a good number three, because they have the potential to play good defense, as we saw against Arkansas. You know, they didn't play great defense against SMU, but SMU is a little bit better on offense than Arkansas. And yes, I said that correctly. But TCU has found a way to score points in every game they've played this season, which is more concerning in our Big 12 style of play. So TCU would be three. Number four, probably Texas, just because I don't know what they're going to be by the time we play them. I think that's what scares me most, is by November 18th, they could be a really well put together team. Number five would be Kansas State, and that would have changed the beginning of the season. I don't think the vanity score changes anything how I feel about them, because I know what to expect from them. I think that's why Texas, for me, has a I just read another question. I'll get to that one later. Texas, to me, has more upside than Kansas State, so I know what to expect from Kansas State. That's why I'm not as anxious to play them, because I know that we'll be getting something. I'll know what we'll be getting for them. So Kansas State five, six would be probably Texas Tech. Probably that reason, purely because they can score a lot of points. And it's just a weird game that if things go right for them and if things don't go right for us, they could beat us. Seven would be Kansas for sure. Because we have to go to Lawrence. And Kansas has recruited really well under David Beatty. I know the performances and the execution haven't been there, but I'm not super confident. I'm very confident, but I'm not like super confident about this Saturday, just because if we don't come out hot, things could get bad quickly. We need to get a start like we did against East Carolina. So there's that. Where are we at? Eight. Eight is probably Baylor, because I think that once Matt Rhule gets everything figured out on his side, they will be a team that is functional like we've seen. And then last would be Iowa State, because I think we know what they are. They've got talent, but I think you just have to be able to out-execute them, and I think we can. So if I got this right, it's Oklahoma State to power rank my most anxious opponents that we have upcoming. We have Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, TCU, Texas, Kansas State, Texas Tech, Kansas, Baylor, Iowa State. So there you go. Hope I answered that question correctly. Again, that was from Josh Harrison at @Josh_2 on Twitter. This one from a Kansas fan. I love this. He wants to know, why are you all only 21-point favorites on Saturday? Did you all suspend half your team? We're on the road. We're playing at noon. Historically, we haven't done super great in Lawrence. Obviously, our one loss to Kansas, it was in Lawrence. 21 points is still a lot. That's three touchdowns over a conference team. I understand Kansas, you know, you probably think you're not great, but, you know, 21 points is still a lot of points. So for a betting line, that's still a lot of points for a conference game. I think that's why it's only 21, as you say. Thanks, Brad Hope, @Brad_Hope on Twitter. He's got a Kansas Jayhawk as his avatar, so I appreciate it. Definitely appreciate the question. But, yeah, Vegas betting lines are weird, so, you know, just deal with that. Again, you can call the show at 917-932-1765. I'd love to take some of your calls and just listen to your opinions. If not, you can continue to tweet the program. You can tweet us at Smoking Musket, and I'll try to answer your questions the best I can. Let's see if I made any other real specific notes. Not really. There's not a whole lot you can take from this game, but I think Dana made a good point to say that there are coachable snaps that we've played. There are some plays that we can learn from, and that's fine. This is why you play these games. I mean, any game you play at the college level, you can learn from. And if not, then it's not good. That is the hope of every game you play, is you can find something, be it on film or even in the game, that you can correct. And I think there are some correctionable plays. Again, tackling needs to shore up. Some of our defensive backfield just needs to be a little bit better. And our defensive line needs to do a better job of penetrating the point of attack. I think we left off with some stats. We'll go over some receiving stats real quick. Gary Jennings with the leading reception, leading receiver this game. He went 6 for 128, no touchdowns, but a pretty decent and sure-handed performance by him. Definitely was the recipient of a lot of passes that set up touchdowns. And I think that's going to be Jennings' primary role this season. He's going to be a guy who can catch the ball in the open field. He's not going to burn anyone with speed necessarily. He's quick, but he's not going to burn anyone for speed long. He's not super tall, but he gets into pockets and he catches the ball really well. I think that's been his biggest contribution. Marcus Sims, four catches, 91 yards, two touchdowns. And Caron White with six catches with 50 yards and a touchdown. So those were the three who caught touchdown passes from Will Greer. And Reggie Robertson caught a touchdown pass from Chris Chugnov at the end of the game. So his first touchdown as a Mountaineer. Congratulations, young man. Thanks for coming and playing in the old Golden Blue. Definitely appreciate it. So again, West Virginia defeats Delaware State by the final score of 59-16. That was Saturday at Milan Puskar Stadium at Mountaineer Field. Announced attendance 51,482. Not great, but I don't think you could have expected anything else. Our next game is against Kansas this Saturday at noon again. It's 11 a.m. Eastern, however, because Lawrence is in the weird time zone. All time zones, not Eastern time zone, are weird, by the way. But that'll be our first conference game of the year. Again, we will play Kansas and Lawrence on Saturday at noon. Mountaineers and Jayhawks. We'll talk about that on Thursday and have the show out on Friday with Mike and I. Hopefully get a guest from Kansas on as well. I think it'll be a lot of the same as the East Carolina game. You know, Kansas has not proven to be exceptionally adequate at anything really when it comes to football. But, you know, if you do not mind your P's and Q's, if you do not take care of your own business and do the job in front of you, then they're a team who has the talent to beat you. And that's the scary part there. But if you want to have any other thoughts about Delaware State or just this season in general, we played three games so far. If you have any hot takes that you'd like to share, call 917-932-1765. And you can give your opinions on the air. Again, that's 917-932-1765. I do want to run down scores from Big 12. I mean, obviously that affects us, but we'll go through this real quickly. Oklahoma beats Tulane 56-14. Kansas State falls at Vanderbilt 7-14. A huge disappointment for the Big 12, to be quite honest. That should have been a win for Kansas State, and I know Kansas State fans are very upset about that. TCU wins the Big Iron Skillet with a 56-36 win over SMU at home. Kansas loses to Ohio 30-42. Eden Stadium is a nice place to watch a game, but it's not particularly intimidating. And Kansas going there and losing is not good for that program. Iowa State 41-14 over Akron on the road. So a decent win for Matt Campbell and his club. They improved to 2-1 on the season. Baylor travels to Tobacco Road and loses to Duke 34-20. Baylor now 0-3 on the season. And Texas Tech squeaks one by Arizona State 52-45. This was a low scoring game, I thought, between these two teams, to be quite honest. But Texas Tech 2-0 on the season for the Red Raiders. You know, they're kind of sneaking up there as a team that might not be as terrible, but, you know, I still think they're the same that they have been, a lot of offense and no defense. One last score to talk about, and I think this is the most important thing here, is Oklahoma State beat Pittsburgh 59-21. And if you don't believe that's the most important result from this weekend, you're not a Mountaineer fan. Pitt looked awful, and it was amazing. They were down, 49-14 at half. Congratulations that they did score a touchdown in the third quarter. They scored three total touchdowns on the day. Oklahoma State, though, just decided to stop scoring because they only scored 10 points in the second half. I think they really took their foot off the gas pedal there. I mean, that was a beatdown. That game was over first quarter when Oklahoma State jumped out to a 21-0 lead. I loved it. I had friends Snapchatting me throughout the day, giving me updates because I was keeping up with it, but it was just funny because they all know how much I hate Pitt, and it was great because they all knew and they were laughing too because it was just not good. Pitt falls their second game in a row, a rematch from last year, which was a very entertaining game. I mean, you know, I told the guys at Pistols Firing and Cowboys Ride for Free that, you know, we're all Oklahoma State fans for those games, but that last year was very interesting. This year, not interesting at all. And I'm telling you, Oklahoma State scares me a heck of a lot more than Oklahoma. They got great offensive talent, and I think their defense is athletic enough to cause a lot of teams problems. So that's the important scores from this weekend. West Virginia does gain points in the AP and coaches polls, but still out of the top 25. A little disappointing, if you will, but I don't think we're going to get back to the top 25 until maybe after we beat Kansas. If we beat Kansas by a decent margin and we have some other teams in front of us who lose, slash if voters decide that LSU actually isn't good, I think we might sneak into the top 25. But I don't think that'll be a particularly – I'm not betting on that. Let's just put it that way. I'm not betting on us getting back in the top 25 until at least we play TCU and we have to beat TCU, who looks kind of good, to be quite honest. They look all right. Let's see. I'm trying to look this up, what TCU. They are now 3-0 and ranked 16th as of today in the AP and 15th in the coaches poll. So they're getting a lot of love and deservedly so. Gary Patterson maybe has a team that looks all right. Kenny Hill is playing at a decent he's playing decently as quarterback. Oklahoma is ranked number 3 overall in both the AP and the coaches poll. And then Oklahoma State is the other Big 12 team in the top 10. They are at 6 and 7 respectively. I personally think they should be ranked above SC. I don't think USC is that great, but there they are. I don't think Michigan should be ranked at 8th, and they are. I don't know why. That is really – I don't think that they've proven to be that great of a team at all. I think Wisconsin looks better as a whole than Michigan, but, you know, there you are. I mentioned TCU at number 16, the other Big 12 school in there, and they're the only other Big 12 school in the top 25. So we've got 3 out of 10. Not great, but West Virginia and Kansas State both receiving votes. But Kansas State obviously dropping out of the top 25 because of their loss at Vanderbilt. Another question here from Twitter at DNLB803, Daniel Bailey asking, who would win a football game between WVU hoops and Kansas hoops? Well, that is an interesting question. You know, my gut says West Virginia, but I think that's just because of our mindset. We play a style of basketball that I think, look, Kansas, is, if we're taking offensive styles, right? Kansas, from a style of basketball to a style of football, they're a very potent offense, right? They're going to score a lot of points. They've got a lot of talent on the perimeter, if you will. And a solid offensive line. That's going to be them. Defensively, though, I think that they would be very suspect. They're going to be a big play defense, right? But they're also able to give up a lot of points. And on an off night, they're going to be gutted for, you know, 30 to 40 points if it's an off night for them. Whereas West Virginia, not a great offensive team. We're going to be a team like, you know, LSU or maybe a team like Georgia Tech or Navy better, who's just going to run the ball a whole lot, right? We're going to run the ball. We might hit some deep passes, but we're, for the most part, just going to run the ball. But defensively, we're going to be a lot stouter. And I would give the edge to a team who can run the ball well and who plays good defense, good consistent defense. I would give that team an edge over a team who has a lot of offensive firepower, for the most part, because offensively you can be disrupted by a fair. I mean, look, our defense from football would be a very strong blitzing defense, a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Just a team that relentlessly work hard, probably tackles well, and obviously is going to force a lot of turnovers. So that's the type of team that can beat a team that scores a lot of points. So I don't know. I think West Virginia would be a much better defensive team or a football team. I think Bob Huggins fits me better as a basketball coach than Bill Self too. Like, I feel like Bob Huggins looks a little bit like, he reminds me of a Bill Parcells type character, where Bill Self, maybe he's a little bit more like, let's see, what's a good basketball to football coach reference I could pull. I think Bill Self is a lot like Urban Meyer has won too many actual championships. Bill Self is a lot like Mark Richt. There we go. He's going to give you a lot of good teams. They're going to be in the hunt all the time. Are they going to win? The big win it all? No, they're just not. You know, they're not built to win it all. But Bob Huggins strikes me as a guy who's a lot more like Charlie Strong, maybe, or Bill Parcells, just a disciplinarian who you know, obviously Parcells and Huggins probably have the same motivational factors, motivational uses. So I don't know. I think West Virginia's team would be suited better for a foot. I mean, look, play strong defense and whatnot. I think we would be better suited for a football game than Kansas. If that makes sense. That's a good question, though. Thanks, Daniel Bailey at DNLB803 on Twitter. Appreciate that question. If you have any more questions, you can tweet us at Smoking Musket. You can also call 917-932-1765. And you can call in and give us your opinions and ask your questions. Again, that's 917-932-1765. I am Bart Keeler here on the Smoking Musket podcast. This is our live call-in and review show. I'm just kind of going through the game that was, I titled this episode, a game was played. It was played. We won 59-16. We got in, we got out, we did our job. It wasn't great. No, but you know, maybe this game, I'll tell you what this game was. To me, this game was like my Monday morning today, or maybe a Tuesday. You don't really want to get up for work. It's definitely Monday. You don't really want to get up for work. You're a little slow. You know, your mind isn't necessarily entirely on work, but by the time you get going around, you know, 10:30, your coffee is set in, then you get going and you settle in nicely and you have a productive work day. So this was basically just a Monday. You know, you probably have better things to do later on in the week and you're looking forward to that, but you have to, you know, you have to do it. You have to go to work on Monday. You got to get paid. You got to do your job. So I think this game was basically just, you know, a Monday for West Virginia football. And we got it past us, and now we can move on to you know, Kansas. And that was the goal. And, you know, from what I can tell, no major injuries. So that was another positive, you know, get people hurt. I don't think Delaware State wanted to do that either. So, you know, from that perspective, mission accomplished on both sides. So that's good. I don't know. I mean, if you have anything else to talk about, please share your thoughts. You can call in again at 917-932-1765 or tweet us at Smoking Musket. Again, you can call in 917-932-1765, and I will be happy to answer your questions. We got about 11 and a half minutes left here. So, you know, a couple more questions maybe. And I'd love to answer it. In fact, I'm going to tweet that out. Let's see. Last call for questions for the live show. So if you have any, you can call in or you can tweet them at us, and I'd love to answer them. A couple other just thoughts about college football as a whole. I kind of gave you my hot takes on who my top teams are. I definitely – look, Alabama has to be number one. If Alabama's not number one in your ranking, I think you're looking at it wrong. I know they're not the defending national champions, but they return the most potential from last year. But – if Clemson's not number two, I think you're also wrong. I think Clemson has looked outstanding. They have the two best wins, if you will, from anyone in the top five. I don't know if Oklahoma over Penn State makes sense in my head. I think USC is rated a little too highly. I think I would have rather seen Washington or OK State up that high. I think they've been a little more impressive. Look, Texas looked all right, but USC definitely didn't look good. And I think, you know, defensively, they did fine, but that was just a painful game to watch. I don't think either team looked great. I don't think it was defensive issues. I think, you know, strong defense on both sides. I think both teams just looked really bad for much of that USC-Texas game. I don't think Michigan should be in the top 10 from what I've seen. They don't look good enough. I'm surprised Florida State is still getting all that love. I understand they're 0-1. And they've only played one game, but they're still 0-1, and we don't know what they're going to be. We haven't seen them since DeAndre Francois on the sideline watching Oklahoma State – or excuse me, watching Alabama run in the end zone. I don't know. That's a big question mark, is how good Florida State is right now. And I think that's going to be answered hopefully this weekend. But at the same time, I mean, the big game that they were going to have against Miami would have shown both teams and how good they could be. That's postponed. But Florida State plays NC State this weekend. I think that's going to be an opportunity for them to show that they are still a good team. And look, Florida State's defense still played really well against Alabama in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium downtown Atlanta. So, I mean, look, that was – I think their defense was really good. All right, Rich Francis at Rich27F on Twitter asks, this might seem small, but shed some light on uniforms. WVU needs new updated ones and alternates. Tired of seeing everyone get updated. Well, I think obviously these are all different contracts based on, you know, the schools and Nike. I think we've actually gone through another round of uniforms and we just kind of kept the same ones we were using because Nike's had a similar template. I do know this. Though we will get alternates, we will not have black or gray from what I can tell from what Shane Lyons has put out. So I think when you look at our home blues, that black sleeve is going to go away. I hope that turns into just all blue. I don't like the black. I like the blue on the gold and the white uniforms. I think the blue sleeve looks nice, but the black sleeve on the navy blue uniforms is just not good. It goes against a lot of color theory that I've learned in my life. You know, you don't want to mix navy and black. It doesn't look great. So I think from what I can tell, we will not get any black in our uniforms. So no coal or anything like that. I think 2018 is when we will see new crops of uniforms, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't think I think you're mistaken about other teams getting updated. I think a lot of teams have had similar uniforms. I just think people get alternates a lot. So if you want to get a lot of alternates, that's fine. We're not Oregon, we're not Maryland. You know, I don't know what more you want as an alternate. I like our white and our yellow. I guess yellow is the alternate. The only thing I actually like is the alternate old school state WVU hats, the, you know, logo we used in the 60s and 70s. I like that. I wish we would incorporate that a little bit more in the season. But, you know, I think there's something a little special to having an alternate uniform. And I've seen this because let's see. We followed up. I know it seems minor, but we are a recognizable school, and every Tom, Dick, and Jerry – you don't need to tweet that out. Don't worry. Are always getting hooked up every tier. Again, I don't think they're getting hooked up the way you think they are. They have alternates every now and then, but you know, we have three sets of uniforms. Other schools seem to have more helmets, which is why they seem to look different. But I mean, Tennessee, Kentucky, I'm trying to think of schools that have had a similar, you know, base. I don't think we need it, but I think when you use alternates too often, it takes away the excitement of using an alternate. And I remember one of my good buddies who played at East Carolina, their excitement when they saw these all white uniforms they're going to wear. And it was just, I mean, I remember seeing it on Snapchat. They were just ecstatic. It was awesome. And college kids like that. I mean, that's really cool. I like that. I like that in college when you got to, you know, wear, you know, we got a black uniform one time. It was awesome. My school's colors were cardinal and black. We usually just wore cardinal and white when we played. So, you know, that kind of stuff is cool. But if you do it too often, it's not special anymore. You know, we're not going to be Oregon. We're not going to be Maryland. So don't expect that. But I understand. I think we need a new look. I think we could freshen up a bit. And I do think 2018, we will see that. Raspy Voice Kids. Brandon from I also hate Pitt on Twitter. Bigger surprise, Lamont McDougal or Kenny Robinson? Well, I got to be honest. I don't think anyone's been a huge surprise, other than a little bit Marcus Sims, but I think we knew that too. I got to think about this. Let me think about this for half a second because I want to say McDougal, just because I feel like I've seen his name or seen his number involved more, heard his name involved more. But that might just be me looking at it from, you know, a weird perspective. I don't know. I still think McDougal's been more impressed, been more of a surprise. I think he's just been, I think mainly because we need help on that D line. And as a freshman, he has looked serviceable. And I think the defensive line is a very hard position to play. So again, I feel like I've seen his number involved more. Maybe that is because he's a D lineman. And, but I would say McDougal has been the bigger surprise, but Robinson's been fine. I mean, look, as a safety in this particular scheme, as a defensive back in this particular scheme for Robinson, you're going to get some playing time because we have five defensive backs, so you're going to get playing time. Granted, I will say that we've been playing against Delaware State and East Carolina, so, you know, I don't know how good they are, but again, you could say that for McDougal because it's not like he saw a lot of run out. He did get to play against Virginia Tech and he played well in that game. So I'm sticking with McDougal. I think he's been able to make a little bit more of an impact. And I think he will be able to help us as we go forward this season. Whereas Robinson, I think, is going to be a better impact next season, if that makes sense. John Ratcliffe, thank you. You gave me a soccer question somewhat. I like this. If Kansas was relegated, who would you move up? North Dakota State would be my first pick. I think they have proved it in football, especially. If we're talking about FCS to FBS, you could do Power 5. I don't think that's fine. Let's see. North Dakota State would be my – I think that would fit in with the Big 12 conference. I also think maybe you could look at a team like Youngstown State from a football perspective. That would be – a cool little rival for us. I still would think North Dakota State deserves it best. And I think they offer a nice on-campus atmosphere. I love this. Rich Francis and Colin Kelly having a little I like that. I would like to see the gold on the sleeves on the home blues. I think that would be really nice. On our blue shirts with gold sleeves, that would be killer. With that gold stripe, with a gold accent maybe down on the side. Cooper, College Coop 54 on Twitter. Even though KU is 1-2, they're doing a significantly better scoring, it seems. Chances are mystery defense holds them to under 20. I don't think we have to hold them under 20. So I think there's that. Yeah, they're doing better. And that's the thing is they've acquired better talent. So with better talent comes hopefully more scoring plays for them. I'm not entirely sure that they're that great, which is fine. I don't think we're going to have to hold them under 20 to win. So there's that. I think we can easily score 40 points on them based if we can continue the clip that we've had in that first quarter against East Carolina. And I think the second quarter against Delaware State was better, but maybe the middle of the first to the middle of the second quarter, all that. If we can continue that pace, I don't think we're going to have to hold them under 20. To answer your question, Jacob Cooper at CollegeCoop54 on Twitter. All right, I got 20 seconds left, so let me just say goodbye to everyone. Thank you all so much for your questions. I appreciate everything. 0-10 scale for Mizzou screwing the cooch and by leaving the Big 12. Yes, they did. They should have stayed in the Big 12. We should have been in the SEC. But with 10 seconds left, thanks for listening to the Smoking Musket podcast. This has been Bart Keeler. And as always, goodbye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.